Well, good morning, everybody. Can I be heard at the moment? Can you hear me? Anybody hear me? No. And a very warm welcome to those people on Zoom. How many do we have on this morning, Hazel? Six. That's brilliant. Well, welcome. I hope you can feel part of what we're going through here, we're enjoying here. And it's really good to see some friends, old and new. And again, it's a sad day to say goodbye to those Evanses over there, but it's more au revoir, isn't it, than goodbye, I hope. Could I have the first verse up, please, which is, I haven't done a PowerPoint, by the way. I was on holiday, got back in through the door 11:30 last night. It's passport control in Calais is slow. Anyway, now I'm going to read this verse. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So I'll just read that again and then we'll continue. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Always remember Tony Campolo, a very amusing and very deep, well, not too deep, but an American preacher. When he was preaching in the church, he decided he would join an all-black church, and he's not black, but he joined that church. And whenever he was preaching, he always knew when he was struggling, because the minister of the church, the pastor from the front row, would say, "Help him, Jesus!" Always knew that he was struggling. So if I hear that this morning, I'll know that it's time to wrap it up. Any case, I wanted to pray again. But just want to say that, you know, I don't know about anybody else who comes up here and preach, but I always feel terribly, really unworthy to do it, as if I've got all the answers. I don't have all the answers, but I know someone who does. So that's the secret. It's God at work and God's word. So let's just pray again, and we'll just pray that God opens some things for us this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the goodness that you have showered upon us. Lord, life is not always easy. Life throws up some terrible, terrible situations. But Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we can rely on you. Through the storms, through the turmoil, you are there. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to put our trust in you. Lord, because we can't go to anybody else. There is no one else like you. And so, Father, just pray that you would just show us some things this morning. Just take away, maybe we got one thing to take away with us this morning. From your word, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those people who don't know, I'm more or less retired now, but through my working life, most of it, almost all of it, I was a teacher of music in a secondary school, mostly in Harlow as well. And I just give God so much glory for the gift of music. Well, it gave me a career. I mean, I'm not a musician. I'm not a great musician. I sometimes get by. I'm not anything special. But I appreciate music. And, you know, as they say, those who can do, those who don't, who can't, teach. Then there's one step further than that. Those who can't teach, teach other people to teach. I never got to that stage. But I did spend most of my working life teaching. And music, in my opinion, was always the most important subject on the curriculum. It was never shared, that view was never shared by any head teacher I ever came across. It was always pushed, you know, you might get lucky to get, the pupils might be lucky to get one lesson a week or something like that. And most of the time I was the one music teacher, and I'd have had a little bit of help by people who weren't particularly specialists, but you know, I didn't have a huge department to manage or anything like that. It was always, despite its importance, it was relegated pretty well to sort of the backwaters, the Cinderella subject, you know. And of course, a lot of research was done on music, and it was found that people who did more music did better in other subjects. But that didn't cut any mustard with any of the head teachers I ever experienced. And when I used to get a class in, I always used to say to the class, is there anybody here who cannot stand every piece of music that's ever been written? Someone who really hates music. And of course, you'd get occasional wise guy put his hand up. Yeah, I hate all music. And then you might just, if you were on the ball, you could just throw one in there and something that's quite popular at the time. And then, oh yeah, well, I like that. But there's nobody who really you want to spend much time with who cannot stand music. Music is one of God's great gifts to mankind. It really is. You know, music is an incredible thing because it's an art, it's a science, very clever science as well. It's a language. You know, if I can read a bit of music, someone in Japan who knows how to read music, I can play with them. You know, and we can just play music together if we read the music. And the music on the sheet, on the score, is international. Pretty well everybody knows how to do that if you study it. It's a kind of a literacy. It's language. It's literacy. It's also very, very good for team building. But God has given us this amazing gift. And if you look throughout the Bible, you see so many references to music. Now, of course, there's worshipping God, but there's also music. There's music which is, for want of a better word, secular. It is music that doesn't specifically give God any glory. But music, if you think about it, just think about what can music do for you? Well, I've just put a few things down here. It can make us smile or laugh. It can make us cry. How many people have been moved to tears by a piece of music that might bring back a memory? Yes, brings back all kinds of memories. No, what was playing on the radio when you did a specific thing? When you met somebody? Music stirs inside us all those emotions. It's an incredible gift. And music touches us in a way that very little else can. Yeah, you could read a poem, but I don't think a poem has got the same kind of... I'm a bit biased, I know. But anyway, and I think one thing that has came to my mind while I was thinking about this for the last few weeks is something that really, really kind of brings this home to me. One particular aspect of music. So this verse here, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Something which demonstrates this and brought it back to me again a few weeks ago. Julie and I and my brother and sister-in-law, we went out to Maastricht. Anybody know where Maastricht is? What country? Netherlands. And we went to a huge concert, open-air concert, by a conductor called André Rieu. Now, you may or may not like the guy, but I'll tell you what, it was a great concert. And an orchestra is something which demonstrates working together, living together in unity. And I'll talk a bit more about that in a while. But you think, in an orchestra, you've got all kinds of different instruments. You know, you've got the kind of foundation of the orchestra, the strings, you've got the violins, you've got the violas, you've got the cellos, you've got the double basses, you might have a harp as well. All different instruments, they kind of like keep the whole thing going. You can have just a stringed orchestra, but you don't just want that. We can have the woodwinds. You know, you've got, you know, Vicky's playing the flute, and where's Peter on the clarinet, the higher pitch flute that sort of just cuts through, and the clarinet, the smooth sound of the clarinet, or the oboe, which, you know, goes through, and its larger brother, the cor anglais. You've got the bassoon, which holds that together, and the whole section has got all kinds of different sounds which blend together. And you move on, you get to the brass section. I was a brass player, Barry was too at one point. Barry played the cornet, I played the tuba. He started on a trumpet, moved to cornet. But there's the trumpets. Not because he liked ice cream. Yeah, okay. And these instruments, the brass has a little bit of power behind it. You know, particularly a trombone. All right, he's got a trombone. Plays it in Pasadena. Anyway, the trombone cuts through anything. It really does, and it's got the able to slide between notes. You've got the smooth-sounding tuba below it. The horn's very, very mellow. All these different sounds blend together. Then you move on to the percussion. Percussion could be a huge number of different instruments. You know, from drums, cymbals, triangles, you know, vibra slaps and all sorts of things like that, bells, xylophones. It goes on and it goes on and on. There are so many different percussion instruments. So many. Maybe up to 100 players in an orchestra. Some composers in the past had larger orchestras than that. When we went to see André Rieu in Maastricht, he had an orchestra of about 75. He probably had about 20 of his own singers. He had a male voice choir of 150 people. And then he had a few marching bands, probably about another 50 people. So it was a vast number. I was very, very worried about the stage, that it was going to collapse with that lot on it. But put them all together. Now, you see, the thing with an orchestra is everybody is doing something different. Yes, there'll be more than one doing the same thing, but each instrument, even in like a trumpet section, there might be a first and second trumpet. They're not playing the same thing. The instrument's the same, but they're playing something different. Violins, there's always first and second violins. And then the same with perhaps horns as well. But everybody is doing something different. That's the glory of it. Now, if you take one part and look at it and ask somebody to play their part, I don't know, say the viola part for a piece of music, and somebody plays that part, it won't be terribly impressive. It will sound a bit okay. On its own, it's nothing too spectacular. The thing about an orchestra is that the people in it, you know, live together in unity. They're playing in unity. They're not playing in unison. They're not all playing the same thing at the same time. If you have an orchestra that does that, it's deadly dull, I can assure you. It really is. If everybody's playing a tune, you'll hear it high and low and a few crashes and bangs, but that's it. It's nothing special. The beauty of it, the glory of it comes when each person is playing their different part. If you take it right back to the beginning, right at the very beginning of any concert or any piece of music, there is one person, and that's the composer. Now, sometimes you look at some of the choruses we do, and you see there's like a list, like as long as a football team. And you think, how on earth could they all work together and do something like this? But usually, there's one composer, one person who has a spark of inspiration, an idea, and they spend quite a while working on that, maybe playing it through, maybe taking it on. But there's usually one person with that plan and that form of the piece of music. And they may spend weeks, months. Sometimes it comes quickly, perhaps, for some people, or it could be years. And that plan works out. So that's the composer. And then the composer gets all the music published, and each person, each player, is only given one sheet of music, perhaps two, maybe two, three, I don't know, but all it has on it, what they have got to do. It doesn't have what anybody else is doing. There might be an occasional clue just to give you a bit of a help, but not much. Everybody gets what they have to do. And it's then their responsibility to take that away and work on it and practice it and try it out and just look at it. And sometimes that might take quite a while. And everybody has done their work. And then there is one person who's second only to the composer, and this person does not even usually play anything. And that's the conductor. The conductor has the master plan in front of him or her. They've got what everybody should be doing. And they work on it, they look it through it. And very often, a conductor knows what the music's like almost as much as the composer does, because that conductor has done all that homework, has looked into it, has gone through it, probably knows it off by heart, the whole thing, and can hear if there's someone who's slightly off. So the conductor is there to oversee the whole thing. The musical director. Now, then comes the main rehearsal. Everybody meets together. Everybody's done their homework, you hope. The player has to keep the conductor in line of sight. We're always told when we play, make sure your music stand is right underneath where the conductor's standing. So you're not looking at the conductor necessarily all the time. You've got to look at the music. But you can tell what the conductor's doing. And then the rehearsals start and things go through. And what happens is there is an amazing result after the rehearsals, and it goes together. It all comes together. Everybody's playing their part. The performance is absolutely marvelous. And I just think that that is such a lovely picture of the church. It's not in the Bible, so you've got to bear that in mind. But every one of us has got something different. Now, again, sometimes in orchestras, that you might have a simple part for someone who's not so experienced, but they can still play with everybody else. Sometimes you might get, you know, if you're playing something like a triangle, you might just have to play it once in the whole piece. Does everybody play all the time? No. Does everybody play at the same time? No. Do things come and go? Yes. And the conductor has to make sure that there is not some people who are drowning out others. The conductor has to make sure that that performance is as good as it possibly could be. And so, for us as a church, if we look at ourselves as players of instruments in the orchestra, we all play something different. We may play something similar to other people. Do we all do the same thing? Do we all stand at the front and preach? No. Do we all, you know, make coffee? No. Do we all teach in the youth groups? No. But this orchestra is made up of so many different things. God does not want us all to do the same thing. Sometimes people say, oh, you're not doing as much as me. I do this and I do that. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want us all to do the same thing, because he's made each one of us individuals. We're all different. We've all got different parts to play. There's another scripture I'd like us just to read. And that's 1 Corinthians 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Someone shout out, help him, Jesus, please. Okay. Yeah. So we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. But if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just to, as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I think we'll hold it there. Thank you. So my point is that we all have our part to play. And there is not a single person who can say, no, I can't do anything. We used to sing an old chorus, was it, there's a work for Jesus, none but you can do. Anybody ever remember that one? Gary, remember that one? No. And who? Oh, yes. Oh, Ruth. Anyway, you don't want to sing it for us, do you? No, okay. But that's true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do, because he has called you by name to be part of his body. Or as I'm just, you know, my analogy is to be part of his orchestra, to be a player in his orchestra. Sometimes you only play for a short time. But without that little bit, it doesn't sound as good. It's not all about making the most noise. It's all about being in tune with each other. And that's important. Whenever you play with other people, you have to listen to what they're doing as well. You can't just look, there's my bit, I'm going to play it. If you don't get the timing right, if you're not in time with other people, it starts to fall apart. So we have to listen to each other. In the church, we have to find our part. We have to practice it. We look at the written sheet music. We look into the Bible. We always keep our eyes on the conductor. That's Jesus. The composer has written the music for us. That's God. And I'm not quite sure where the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us where we work when we're playing as well. He inspires us. And that is the whole point of what I'm trying to say this morning. That's what I think God laid on my heart, that we are all part of God's body. We're all part of the body of Christ. We're all players in the orchestra. And what we're aiming for is a fantastic piece of music that moves people. As a church, are we working together? Are we actually playing our part? Are we practicing? Every one of us can be a part of God's body. We can all be a part of this body of Christ. I think I've got another reference there. Is that is it Romans 12? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Yes, offer our bodies. That's our worship. It isn't singing songs necessarily. It is offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's our true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world. How easy it is to go along with things that people tell us. There's a lot of nonsense being taught to us and spoken to us and broadcast to us. It's hogwash. The Bible gives us God's word, gives us God's perfect will for us. It says here, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's get our minds renewed by God. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So I just want to just wind up now. God has a part for you to play. God wants you involved in playing. Whether it's a triangle with 150 bars rest and then one ting, if that's all you're called by God to do, that's great. Do it. But don't miss it. Don't miss that, because you can't get that time back again. If you're a bit late and you think, oh, I'll put it in now, that's not right. Do whatever God has called you to do. And the Bible is very clear. We're all one body. Or as I've tried to say this morning, we're all one orchestra. We all have our bit to play. We don't have the same bit to play as everybody else, but there's all the harmonies, all the melody, the rhythm, the different sound qualities, how many people are doing things at once. That's the, you know, the texture, the timbre, all these other musical terms that God puts with us. And you can kind of find analogies in the church as well, but I haven't got time to go into all that. But I just want to say one more thing. The great composer, God himself, just one thing, one verse in Zephaniah. Sometimes he sings over us. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, in his love. He will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. The great composer could be singing over us, and his music carries on through the ages. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us the wonderful gift of music and worship you, Father. May we devote ourselves to worshipping you and not being conformed to the way the world is. But Lord, I pray that you would just transform our minds. And Lord, you would allow us to give our bodies as living sacrifices to you, that we would play our part in your great symphony. Father, just thank you that you sing over us. You don't condemn us. You welcome us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.